I don't know. Maybe we won't do a cold open today.
Okay.
Or maybe I'll just cut together like 3 second tidbits from what we did already. So it'll be like 2 seconds of Last Jedi baguette talk, 2 seconds of poop talk. Is Last Jedi in the baguette club?
Yes.
You think so? I think so, right? Yeah. I mean, like, I would think the people who came up with the baguette theory. I like that the terminology is developing around the baguette as it relates to Star Wars. I have a whole section about that in the agenda.
I like the kind of poops that when you wrap it up and you'll look back down there.
Yeah.
It looks like a bunch of wet leaf foliage particles.
Huh.
It was like a salad shooter down there.
I was going to... Hello and welcome back to Gunga Beach. I'm here with my pal, leading member of the Neo-Separatist Coalition's attack on Spellhouse, Steve McMahon. Steve, how have you been, and what did I just reference?
It's another fine day, and you lost me at Neo. I actually have no idea what you're talking about.
Steve, that was the profile description of Anto Krieger in the, I believe, season finale of Andor, season one.
Okay.
Steve.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Yes.
Today is April 10th, the 1 year anniversary of the Gunga Beach podcast.
Illustrious. 3 episodes out in a year.
Yeah. Well, Steve, this is our 12th episode, which means we've been averaging one per month, which, you know what, Steve? It's because we're dads. We're very responsible. Yeah. If more important things in life come up, we take care of business.
That's one way of putting it.
Steve, April 10th. It turns out to be a very significant day in our history. Do you know where we were on April 10th, 2019?
Wrigley Field?
Wrigley Field, baby. Yes, we were. Enjoying a Cubs Chicago. Game. Do you remember who they played? I don't.
No. I don't remember even watching baseball.
I know. I don't either. I just remember hanging out. I remember the pictures we took. Steve, before we get into our main topics for today... Just a bit of house cleaning. Little update, Steve. So as you know, when we started this podcast, I said I'd be giving updates on my Star Wars merchables that I do. And haven't really done much. But I am working on 2 new pins, Steve. Hoping to have them available in time for the actual 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace, which is not May the 4th.
Well, are they... They're re-releasing the film from May 4th weekend.
Yes.
But... They're not keeping it open all the way through the 19th when the actual premiere was 25 years ago, right?
No, I don't think so.
No, I didn't even scroll that far ahead.
Which begs the question, why are they doing it? I guess it's just because they figure Star Wars fans are insane and we're all going to go to the movie theater and celebrate May the 4th, which is true.
We're all going to go to the movie theater and watch that film again.
Right.
But yes, they are just hitting on the stupid play on words cash grab holiday. That has been created for us consumers, May the 4th.
Steve loves no made-up fan holidays.
Which no movie George put out ever appeared on for a premiere date.
An excellent point, Steve.
So
why should I move up my pin release to accommodate that, right?
May the 4th be with you.
That's what I'm saying. I will be doing, Steve, a minor May the 4th discount on the current stock of pins, which includes Banthas, Beach Bums, Cassian, and unsung B-side characters, Sidon Ithano and First Mate Quiggy. So look for that on May the 4th.
99% off free shipping.
I wanted to do 1999. Like, I want to do, you know, I'm thinking Phantom Menace 2-pack.
Oh, okay.
For 1999. Yep. How perfect would that be? Where can you find those pins, Steve? Well, inserting our social medias clipped in from a previous episode now. Subscribe to this show and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever podcasts are sold. Follow me at FreshHeckDesign on Twitter and Fresh_Heck_Design on Instagram, where you can also find out about my Star Wars-inspired merchables, namely Star Wars enamel pins. You can also purchase said merchables at Etsy.com/shop/FreshHeck, or just search Fresh Heck. You can find Steve on Twitter at SteveMac79 or on Facebook, where he lurks about in the Alliance of Star Wars Fanatics Facebook group, which you should join immediately. Steve, we have so much to talk about today. First and foremost, Star Wars Outlaws, which just released a new story trailer. Now, Steve, today is definitely actually April 10th when we're recording, but we haven't seen it yet. So we can't quite talk about it.
I was going to give it the Bad Batch treatment. Still haven't watched it.
Steve, I was going to say, this whole thing, I think we were supposed to be like, you know, actually catching up on Bad Batch and talking about it. I actually have caught up on it, but I just assumed you didn't. So
you assumed correctly.
I didn't, very good. I didn't include it in the agenda.
Did Omega die yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
Well. Steve, here's the thing, right? Where is that going to go? And should we care? Like, I'm watching the show and I'm like, it's pretty good. Like, they're making quality television here, but like, is Omega going to live on? Is she going to be yet another of the, you know, we've got all these Jedi floating around that weren't supposed to be alive when Luke was dealing with everything on his own?
Filoni's not going to kill her.
No way. No way.
So with that in mind, do we see her again elsewhere?
You got to imagine that. Yes.
Is she going to show up in Mando? Is she going to show up in And? I mean,
do they have to send her to the Thrawn galaxy to explain her out of original trilogy timeline?
Okay, okay.
Do we just dump everybody there in the miscellaneous folder until we're ready to bring them back?
Spare parts.
I don't know. Steve.
Yeah.
Our first real topic. Mm-hmm. Are you at all excited for Tales of the Empire?
A little bit.
So it was announced last week that there would be 6 more episodes of, this is of course, following on Tales of the Jedi, 6 Empire or Sith or what's her face from The Mandalorian and Ahsoka, Inosanto is her real name in real life.
Elsbeth?
Yes, Elsbeth. Yeah. Yep. So focused on the baddies, Steve. And also,
and did you say Barriss Offee?
Who's that? Yeah, who's that now?
We're going to get Barriss Offee content.
Okay.
She's the species is Miri Allen.
Who's that what?
The species is Miri Allen.
Oh, okay. Steve, did you notice we also get an appearance of our old pal, Eggnoggin, the Inquisitor, played by Rupert Friend on Kenobi?
Oh, yes. The Inquisitor in real action had a cranial shrinkage issue.
Yeah. Or was it inflamed for the show?
Well, it was sunken for the show. I mean,
it was unbelievable. It was huge.
Wait.
Yeah?
What do you mean huge?
Oh, the Inquisitor's head?
Oh, Rupert Friend didn't have they didn't give him a cone head. He didn't look like Beldar. We thought.
Well, yeah.
Like we thought it should have been.
Right, right. Here's my other theory
really
on that.
Shaped like a Tic Tac.
Don't you think Rupert Friend was like, there's no way I'm shaving my head for this show? I've read the script.
Oh, well, actors rarely do that. Yeah. I mean, most bald things you see in a movie are skull caps.
Yeah, well, not Sigourney
Unless
Weaver,
it's
baby.
Christian Bale.
That's someone who commits.
Sigourney Weaver, Christian Bale. There are exceptions.
Yeah, yeah. Get somebody who cares in there.
Like Daphne Keene. Daphne Keene in The Acolyte. Skull cap. She didn't
Well, that's
shave
okay.
That. Well, actually, Natalie Portman did that for V for Vendetta, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I think
so. Skull capped for that.
See, I think she's somebody who commits, Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She commits to bad acting, but George is the director, too.
Well, you have to. At that point, you're like, I signed in for 3 of these?
Your hands are tied.
I'm going to spend the next 6 years on this? Steve, speaking of eggnog, did you pick up some blue milk at Market Basket?
No, I don't want any part of that.
Is it out yet? I don't know if they started selling it.
I'm not interested. If I'm buying milk, it's 1%, it's white, and it's got the longest expiration date of the batch. That's what I grab.
But here's my thing, Steve. Couldn't you make a pretty good alcoholic cocktail with that?
I mean, yeah, you can make an alcoholic cocktail out of anything.
Well, that's a good point.
Like in a place of desperation years ago, I made a prune juice and vodka drink.
That's going back to our cold open now.
Sure.
Steve?
Yes.
Revisiting the Acolyte trailer. Our last episode, we talked about the release of the Acolyte trailer. We both loved it. And looking back on it, I think we left a lot on the table. So again, the Acolyte comes out on June 4th, just under 2 months away from now. Steve, here's one quote.
Yep.
Here's one subsequent quote that I loved from Leslie Headland. And this is kind of a sideburn, okay? I'm finding everything Leslie Headland says is inadvertently burning all who came before her, kind of like Gerard Mayo. She said this, Steve. I also don't want to leave the audience hanging emotionally. I should preface this. She's talking about, you know, are you going to leave everybody hanging at the end of this show? Is it going to be like a lot of what we've seen where we just kind of get left hanging with some unresolved threads? She says, I don't want to leave the audience hanging emotionally. I want to leave them hanging narratively, but emotionally I want them to feel like they've watched a whole thing and then still have a bunch of questions at the end. And Steve, I say, I love that. Isn't that exactly what A New Hope did? And yeah, maybe even Empire?
We sat there wanting more at the end.
Right.
We can't say that for everything we've gotten.
And at the same time, it wasn't just like, okay, you didn't just stop and arbitrarily end something in mid-story.
Right.
And sure, there's still some questions we have. There are still places you could go with this. But it felt like a complete experience, which makes me feel like, you know what? Leslie Headland, she gets it. Steve, here's another comment about somebody that, as we mentioned last episode, we're very much looking forward to seeing in this role. She told Empire Magazine that Carrie Ann Moss's character, Master Indara, is, quote, very much inspired by Trinity of Matrix fame.
Sadly, the only other thing I've ever seen her do.
Right. Same here.
Off the top of my head.
She's done some stuff, I think, actually, in the last few years that you and I probably just haven't seen.
Of course. Yeah.
She goes on to say,
she's Canadian. So.
Is she?
Yeah. Tip my cap to Rui there.
Shout out to Emperor Palpatine. She goes on to speak of her saying, somebody that would come in and immediately you would be like, oh, that's the most powerful Jedi in the room. And that's Trinity. That was a quote, Steve. And I think that's pretty darn
awesome.
I like
that quote.
Yeah.
I like that quote.
Like, let Trinity be Trinity. She also discussed Thielen human hybrid and Padawan of Master Soul, Jeckie Lawn, or is it Jeckie Lone? Don't know how to pronounce these. Star Wars, please put up phonetic pronunciations with your character descriptions.
You know what? I'll go ahead.
No, go.
No.
Psh, fine. She didn't say too much about her other than that she's a lot more submissive to her master than Anakin was to his. But dang, does her Black Series figure look cool, Steve. Have you seen it?
Yes, I did see it. I thought the sculpt looked good.
Yeah. And not only that, but I think, like, you know, aesthetically, it's the only one that's got much going on visually. Like, everybody else is just, like, human in beige and brown robes, which does not make for an exciting Black Series figure.
No, not yet. You can just pluck the head off of any one of them and put it on the other one, and it's the same character.
Interchangeable. We're back to the clone conversation. Same thing. Steve, speaking of release dates, The Mandalorian and Grogu is officially coming.
Good grief.
Yeah, allegedly. Is officially coming 700 and something days from now on May 22nd, 2026. So as you mentioned in a prior episode, that is about 2 years from now, Steve. And Celebration is about a year from now. So that would have to be the first trailer drop, right, Steve?
It's 772 days away.
Yeah. 772.
Now you think the trailer is going to drop Celebration Japan?
Yes, absolutely.
Kind of early.
It is early. Yeah.
You're still, is that April of 25?
Mm-hmm. I believe it's April, but yeah, like April of 25, roughly springtime.
May of 26. Well, if you think of teasers and timelines, our first teaser for The Force Awakens came in November.
Yep.
Was it Black Friday?
Either Thanksgiving Day or Black Friday. Yep.
Yeah. And then, you know, fast forward 13 months later.
Yep.
It debuted. So
13 months, baby.
You could be onto something.
Yeah.
I could be. That's the time to do it.
Yeah.
That's your marquee convention. Right. All right.
Yep. And if you think about it, all you need to do, I mean, if you look at that Force Awakens trailer, we actually talked about last time how the best shot in that trailer was cut from the movie. Too awesome for JJ. And then
I don't even remember.
They didn't show much else. So all you really need is like some scenery. Sure. You know,
what was cut from the trailer?
The awesome, awesome shot from behind Kylo where he sort of hunched over and first ignites.
Oh, and he ignites.
Yeah,
that's right.
His crossbar
lightsaber. We don't get that view of him.
Right. Which is incredible. I mean, the funny thing is, like, I've thought, you know, I've you know, it's very easy to sit here and criticize, right? Like, oh, where did they cut it out? They should have left it in. It's the best shot in the movie, which is true. But if you watch it now, I think it's because the way it works out in the actual final cut of the film is that you hear the ignition when you're seeing Rey and Finn. So it's like the reason for not including it was because he wanted to see their reaction
I get it. I didn't feel like I lost out when I didn't see it in the film. I couldn't even remember it.
Right.
Well, the thing that was stark about that in the trailer is that that's the first time we had seen that kind of lightsaber.
Yes.
Yes.
Steve, if you think May 22nd, 2026 is a long time from now.
It feels far.
Well, we also have some Dawn of the Jedi news. Dawn of the Jedi being James Mangold's upcoming, even longer ago than the Old Republic, upcoming Star Wars, which will unnecessarily answer the question, how does the Force work? Steve, the news is that he got a real writer.
You believe it?
And if you're a baguette munching, white wine sipping, black and white striped shirt wearing beret mongerer like I am,
yep,
you're going to love this news. The writer is Bo Willimon?
I think so.
They probably say Willimon. Well, you think about British people saying it, Steve. It's like, Bo Willimon. That's my, like, I don't know, was that Paul McCartney talking about Star Wars?
You a proper lad.
Bo Willimon, writer of three episodes of Andor. Including
did he write
one.
Three?
Yeah.
You can put away your Paul McCartney, all right? We don't need that.
What? No, the fans are dying for it. We're going to bring it back every episode. He wrote the three-episode Narkeena 5 arc.
Oh, okay. Okay. I know he had written the jailbreak and everything. Yeah. I know it was the entire arc.
Steve, did you know that if you wanted an enamel pin that depicts Cassian right before he got arrested on Niamos, do you know where you could find that?
Fresh Egg Designs.
Yeah, no. There you go. You're locked in today, Steve. And that episode, Steve, the episode One Way Out, which is one of the ones he wrote, which I think is sort of the fan favorite of the entire series.
Yeah, that would be accurate.
If Twitter is to be believed, which that included Luthen's legendary speech.
Oh, okay.
Which he gave to, don't know that guy's name, kind of looks like a mouse. And he's kind of like, hey, I got a kid on the way. I kind of want to get out. And Luthen's like hell you are.
I don't think so, bro.
We are dying together in this rebellion, pal. Speaking of Steve, oh my goodness. Okay, as evidence of what a great writer he is, it only just now occurred to me that the title of that episode is One Way Out. And in that one scene, that dude finds out he has no way out, or that his one way out is literally just dying in support of
my favorite
rebellion.
Songs. Two of my favorite songs.
Really?
One Way Out by Sonny Boy Williamson, famously done by the Allman Brothers.
Sure.
And then No Way Out by Robert Tepper in Rocky IV.
Really?
Yep. No Easy Way Out. Ah, Easy Way Out.
Sorry.
Yep. Cut this from the episode.
Gonna have to cut the whole
episode. Idiocy.
We're gonna have to throw the whole episode out, Steve.
Nah.
We don't make mistakes. So that's pretty good, Steve. I still don't. I don't know that we need this movie, but it's good to know they have a really good writer on board.
So what do you mean, need this movie?
Like, do we need to know, like, the first time somebody, like, put two sticks together to make fire? That's how this feels to me, you know? Like,
people really enjoyed the book and the comics that were set way, way back then. It was popular with the fan base.
So in a nutshell, like, what was that stuff about? What, like, I've never read any of that.
Do you want episode 6.5? Do we want to recast the original crew? Do we want to, you know, just stick with the classic characters? Or do we want to get new?
Yeah.
Do we want to try new?
Yeah. I guess to me, the thing is, I do want new, but the origin of the Force doesn't feel new to me.
You want new as long as it's what you want.
Well, yeah, that's right, Steve.
Okay.
I mean, do you see us eating baguettes to this show? Because I don't. This movie?
I mean, right away, like right now, no.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, maybe.
Yeah. I think it could be good. I like this idea of like teaming up, like, because I think one thing we've seen, you know, they're like, we got this awesome director, but then the story's
true.
But then if the story's not good.
But look at the goal. Okay. So we got Bo Willimon and James Mangold.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about Chris Terrio and J.J. Abrams?
Oof. Well, and here's the difference. Chris Terrio was a trash writer. So we're like, we're going to take J.J. Abrams, who's a little sus, and we're going to combine him with the guy. What had he written before that? Like,
I don't know. Batman. It's like a treatment on Batman versus Superman.
Oof. Yes.
Justice League.
Right.
Justice League.
Right. right? It's like
he did something that was also panned.
Yeah. Was this just a way to show you believe in second chances? Like, not something you want to do with the most important installment of the Star Wars triple trilogy, right?
No,
like,
good.
Yeah, no thank you. Steve, speaking of baguettes, Star Wars Outlaws is made by Ubisoft, a French company. Vision's Season 2 standout episode, The Spy Dancer, which is Frencher than Stewart, was made by Studio La Cachette, which, according to their website, is somewhere hidden in Paris. And, of course, the big baguette...
Frencher than Stewart? You know, I only remember that person... You're talking about Stewart French.
French Stewart. Are you going to say that you only remember him from the SNL skit?
Celebrity Jeopardy, yes.
Yes, okay.
I could not pick that guy out of a lineup otherwise.
No. And I don't know what was... He was on...
Did Third Jimmy Rock Fallon from the Sun. Do him?
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon played him on SNL. Yeah. I'm glad I broke you with that, Steve. I didn't know if anybody would get that reference at all.
Yeah. I don't remember where he was from or what he did other than the fact
I think
that...
he did Third Rock from the Sun. Remember that show?
Oh, he was one of the guys on that?
I'd never seen an episode. And the thing I hated was that, like, when 30 Rock came out and was actually amazing, and I would tell people about it, they'd be like, is that the one with, like, the alien guy and John Lithgow? And I'm like, no. No.
No. Different. Much different.
So, Steve, you know, yeah, Outlaws, The Spy Dancer, and, of course, the big baguette that started them all, Andor. And as we've now added, like we said, The Last Jedi could be included in that list. Steve, are we seeing the baguettification of Star Wars?
I hope not.
No? Okay.
No, I don't think so.
But Steve, you love those things. I mean, you love Andor.
I do.
We're probably going to love Outlaws.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to love Outlaws. I don't know when I'm going to be able to even play that game.
Well, that's true. Steve, we're getting to that.
It's not available on PS4. I'm not running out to buy a PS5 just for this game.
Well, that's what this new trailer is for, Steve. It is to convince you that you need to do that.
Not going to happen.
Steve, speaking of Outlaws, do you think we'll get an actual release date? And maybe it already happened earlier this morning on April 10th or yesterday on April 9th. Will we get a release date along with this trailer? Did we get a release date along with this trailer?
For the game?
Yeah.
I think we will. Yeah.
And follow up to that, will it be this year in 2024?
No.
No? You think we're getting bumped?
I have a feeling it's going to be a little further up, but...
Have you noticed that, like, for the last couple of years, they'll sometimes, like, release a trailer and get people really excited, and that kind of buys them a little bit of wiggle room to be like, hey, we're glad you guys really like this. Here's the bad news.
Okay.
Not coming out when we said.
With it's classic that the video games, their release date gets pushed.
Right.
They haven't given us an exact date on this, but it has been stated by Ubisoft or whoever's doing this game. Yeah, Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. French company. Did I mention that?
That it is coming out in 24.
Oh, yeah. They're on record.
I'm not confident, but...
Yeah. Here's my thing. I think it's 50-50 at this point, because they've been...
I want it to be great.
Right.
You know, for the health of the franchise.
Right. To me, I won't be shocked if they're actually going to make their release date and get it out before the end of the year. I won't be shocked. I think it'll be as late as possible this year. It'll be as late as possible before Black Friday, because that's kind of how these things tend to go. They're like, well, if we're not going to get it out in time for Black Friday, we push it. On the other hand, if there's a delay, I won't take that as bad news for the exact reason you said. If there's a delay, it's because they're like, you know what? This game's really good. And we're like almost there. And if we just take a couple of extra months, we can really nail it. I think the game's going to be awesome, Steve.
I hope so.
I think it's going to push us really hard to wanting that PS5. Steve, we've got some recommendations before we wrap this one up. In honor of our first anniversary, Steve, I've gone through and figured out, in my estimation, what are the best three episodes of our podcast to date, not including this one, which is clearly in the pantheon. Steve, our third best episode is Ahsoka Good. Now, I don't know if you remember, but that was the first one we recorded together in your basement.
Oh, Okay.
And that one was a blast, Steve. That's a really good episode. So we encourage the Gunga Beach Bums to go back and have a listen. You know, once you're done listening to this one for the fourth time. Steve, our second best episode, in my opinion, episode 5, Star Wars Dates and Outlaws. This is when we first saw the amazing footage, 10 minutes of Star Wars Outlaws gameplay, which had us really pumped. And very good episode. And lastly, Steve, at number one, last year's first annual, notice that? First annual May the 4th special with our special guest, a fan of, a.k.a. Tiffany Bruce. Please check out that episode, if you haven't already, which is now appearing in our feed as a special edition.
You polished it up.
Polished it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much just removed the accidental audio gaps that I left in there the first time.
Spit shine.
And look forward to our next episode, which, barring any shocking announcements in the next couple of weeks, will be our second annual May the 4th special episode, because Steve is a huge fan of the holiday that is May the 4th. And Revenge of the 5th or Revenge of the 6th?
I think it's 5th.
Yeah?
Either way, I hate it.
Yeah. Steve, do we have anything else we want to talk about before we wrap this one up? I mean, I know we have some. Should we read those emails from Rui?
Oh, absolutely.
September 20th of the year 2023. Rui said, I saw on Twitter someone saying something about Thrawn's troopers, and I agree. Remember that, Steve? Remember that Ahsoka show that used to be on? Rui says, I don't want to spoil, and I could be wrong like 50% of the time. That's a conservative estimate. But all the clues do make sense.
Very conservative.
Dirty armor, broken armor, red ribbons or straps. I think you can guess what I'm thinking. Talk about cliffhangers. Can you guess what he's thinking?
No, what a terrible email.
I have no idea what he's talking about. I don't know. I guess if we were in the throes of Ahsoka fervor, maybe we would have been more dialed in and remember what it was that Rui's referring to.
It was a little jarring to see how filthy the stormtroopers were.
I thought they looked pretty cool, though.
It looked cool. But for as much of a clean-as-a-whistle taskmaster as Thrawn is...
Right. Yeah,
a little dirtier than I expected.
See, you know what? That's a good point. And I think if on the show, I think what could have made things more interesting, right? Thrawn was in this other galaxy for how long?
He's gone for a decade.
Let's say a decade, right? So what if Thrawn got a little disheveled? You know what I mean? What if he started to lose it? Like, you know, you get a little eye twitch going. His hair's a little longer.
He's starting to turn into Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
Exactly. Yeah. The actor? Rui's next email came.
Who was in Andor?
Who was, yes, in the fans' favorite episode of Andor. I mean, not Andor, The Mandalorian with Lizzo and Jack Black.
Oh, it was Mando season.
Yeah.
That was Mando season 3.
The critically acclaimed Mando season 3. Rui's next email came later on the same day.
Sorry, I didn't mean to paint Andor with that brush.
Eesh. Yeah, nice going. Oof. Later on the same day, on September 20th, 2023, Rui said, you should have hater mailbag where people complain about something. Isn't this what it already is?
This show is the hater. My microphone is the hater mailbag.
As is any email we get from Rui. He says, here's mine.
Right.
Because as if he's only got one. He says, here's mine. Me being a hater here, Rogue One, Solo, Ahsoka, Mando have given us some really cool troopers, while the ST gave us one design in 3 colors. All right. So we're getting a little sequel trilogy hate from Rui.
Fair.
He's right.
Fair point.
The sequel trilogy really did nothing
okay.
for stormtroopers.
No, we get one. They give us one.
Rui's second to last email. No, fourth to last. Your latest episode. Steve didn't want you to read my letter? I'm so angry. End of email.
That was it? When was that dated?
That was dated, let's see, that was December 27th, 2023. You ruined his holiday season, Steve.
That's okay.
Rui's next email came to us on January 16th of this year.
Oh.
And it just says, This is a weird one, Steve. So this is white text on black highlight. It says Daisy Ridley's untitled Rey Skywalker Star Wars movie reportedly delayed indefinitely, all caps. Steven Knight possibly exiting. I'm sorry. I should have read that right. It said scoop in the subject line.
So he's feeding us news, or
this... I guess we forgot that Rui was the first person that broke that news. Really impressive. I think this is now Rui's last email to us.
The one you're about to read, or you just read?
The one I'm about to read. The one I'm about to read.
Okay, when was this?
Now, interestingly, Steve, this was in February, but I actually solicited this one. And so I'll tell you what I wrote to Rui. I said, "Dearest Ruthifer H. Amaral, the Gunga Beach Bums desperately need to know what you did to get blocked by Empire Magazine. Please send a voicemail or email, but you know what'll happen if it's an email with a detailed explanation. Truly, the Gunga Beach Condo Association." Rui replied, "Don't really know. I think I wrote that I was disappointed that the tease was about an article. A big letdown or something along those lines. A day later, I noticed I was banned from their Twitter account. I can still go into their Facebook."
Yeah, he'll get
you
them
can't
somehow.
Stop Rui. You can only hope to slow him down.
No, he's an unstoppable force.
Amazing. Rui, thank you so much for emailing us.
I mean, he stopped sending emails, and I think before you solicited that email, the trajectory of his emails, they were just going downhill.
Well, you know.
Maybe we're part to blame for that. But
I think we're part to blame for the fact that he stopped emailing. You
know, please continue sending emails, Rui.
Yeah, we do need that Rui feedback.
We need your feedback.
Gunga Beach Moms, if you would like to email us, you can do so at gungabeachpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Brett.
This is Steve.
And this is the Gunga Beach Podcast.
Risa, die in here.
At the time of recording, Steve and I had not yet seen the new Star Wars Outlaws trailer, nor did we know about the shocking release date that was revealed. So I just wanted to talk about that for a couple of minutes now. Star Wars Outlaws released a trailer today, but before that, they announced the release date, which is August 30th of this year. I kind of can't believe it, because what is that? May, June, July, August, 4 months away from now, which is amazing. I can't wait to play this game. They also released the story trailer, and personally, the story of this game is not super important. What I really want to see is new worlds, new settings, new characters, new creatures, new ships. I really just want to do things and see things that I haven't seen in Star Wars before. And I thought that this trailer shows that off really well. And I think that is what we're going to get from Outlaws. Now, of course, we do see some familiar places like Canto Bight. But for some reason, the way it looks in this trailer is just super cool. And I think we're going to see little nooks and crannies of some of these familiar locations that we didn't see in the movies, which should be super fun. We also see Jabba the Hutt, and we find out that all of these different criminal cartels are involved, like the Hutts and Crimson Dawn, which I also think is awesome. So who knows what that means for, like, who else we'll see? Who will we see from Crimson Dawn? Could we see Kira? Could we see Maul? Who the heck knows? But it looks super cool. All of the characters and the creatures and the ships in this trailer look super cool. I'm most excited about the new planet that was showed off in the previous trailer of 10 minutes of gameplay. I think it's called Tojara, something like that. Toshara. So I'm really excited about that. And we also find out in the trailer that we're putting together a crew. As Han Solo said in Steve's favorite movie, Solo, A Star Wars Story, he can't wait for them to make Solo 2 happen. So it looks like we have a cool cast of characters that are like mostly non-humanoid or entirely non-humanoid, humanoid, aside from the lead character. So anyways, this game looks incredible. I think this is looking like one of the highest quality Star Wars projects we've seen in a long time, certainly since Andor, potentially. So yeah, I'm guessing in our next episode, which will be our May the 4th special, Steve and I will probably dig into this even more, along with some newly released images from The Acolyte, which seem to be dropping every 5 minutes, that also look super cool.